Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey, happy Saturday.
Ipsy Ed, good to have you on board. I'm a little flustered. We're in the outer room debating with Brandon. And, of course, like you said, you don't even need coffee. No, I got you all jacked up. Thank you, Brandon, very much.
Almost forgot the newspaper.
I did. I almost did. Well, welcome to the show. And what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that we put on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. So, Ed, you came in, sat down, and you said, what do you mean, what Islamic involvement in the Florida shooting?
Yeah, basically, I understand he's got the keffiyeh on, pretty much like the scarf you wore into the studio today.
That's right. I do. What is it called? You called it a
keffiyeh. Well, I believe it's called a keffiyeh.
I thought it was a shemagh or something. I can't remember. But anyways, yeah.
No,
so
if you're
I do
Jewish,
that.
It's that. But if
oh,
you're
is it? Okay. Well, maybe it is. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm Jewish. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, I do wear that. And oddly enough, I just told Linda. And,
hey, you're pointing your finger with the ISIS sign, too. I just saw that, you know?
I'm putting up the number one. We're going to get to that in a minute. Gosh, can I get my intro done?
Sorry.
But, yeah, I laughed at to Linda and Pastor Rick. I said, I'm not wearing this if I go to Washington, D.C., you know, because I don't want to cause any trouble. But, well, let's take care of a little business. Our sponsor this half hour is St. Joe's Bariatric. They're going to be doing an educational seminar. If you're looking to lose weight, you haven't had some problems losing weight, bariatric surgery is one of the options you can look at. And they're going to be doing an educational seminar January 11th. That's next week, actually, at St. Joseph Mercy Livingston, which is at 620 Byron Road in Howell. 620 Byron Road in Howell. So check them out, St. Joseph's. St. Joe's Health Bariatric. So it's a good place to go if you're really having a problem losing weight. And after the holidays, who isn't? But I think this is for, you know. So check them out, and you can see them in The Current. And if you haven't seen The Current lately, you can go to currentonline.com. That's currantonline.com. So check it out there. Okay, so the big news yesterday was the shooting, right after you and I had lunch yesterday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And go home, and all of a sudden it flares up on the news that five people have been shot, 13 wounded. You know, the numbers come in and they're all confused and nobody knows. It's a developing story. And it's still developing as of this morning. But, you know, initially they said it was a guy coming in from a flight in Canada and that there was a gun, handgun in his bag, which, you know, I thought, you're not supposed to even own handguns in Canada. How did he check a handgun on
check
a bag?
In.
Yeah.
Not carry on. Check in.
Okay.
You
yeah,
can
check
carry
in.
Check in. Yes.
Yeah, but
so basically,
in Canada,
you retrieve your baggage.
Yeah, but
oh,
Canada,
I'm sorry,
you
Canada.
Have,
well, yeah,
yeah.
Canada.
So I was thinking to myself, what's going on here? So I ended up not being from Canada, right? So, but anyways, it was very confusing, and this they captured him alive. I guess he laid down. They got hold of him, and all of a sudden, everybody and their brother starts Googling and looking at his Facebook, and there's pictures out there, and some of the pictures of him don't look like him. And then, of course, the big spin always comes from the media and the authorities, right? So CNN got caught whitening his skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's your first one. And then one of the pictures that ultimately came out, and it's the one you're seeing mostly now, is this guy with the
scarf,
right? The Palestinian-looking scarf. But it's a military one, right? And this guy was in the military at one point, holding up the ISIS finger like you were joking about, you know? So
yep.
Is there some connection to terrorism? Obviously, it's terrorism, whether it's related to Islamic terrorism or not. I think the rule is more than one incident, right? And if you killed five people, there's five incidences right there. So they're going to call it terrorism, whether it's ends up being Islamic terrorism or not is a different story. What do you
got
there?
It's a keffiyeh. I finally got something right.
So
yes.
Not, you know, it's funny. We're at Tim Hortons, right?
Yeah.
And I've got mine on, and, you know, I got a couple of odd looks from people because I had my little black hat on that kind of looks like maybe I'm a Muslim or something, but I don't know. But it's just strange that all of a sudden we had it. And these are these lone wolf things. People, you got to be out there and you got to be ready. You know, I'm just thankful that it was only, you know, not dozens and dozens of people who ended up being killed this way.
You know, my take on it, I have a couple of takes on this. One is that basically they locked down the whole airport long after they got this guy. These people are being forced to stay in the terminal, miss flights, miss cruises. Most people flying to Fort Lauderdale, it's to take a cruise. And I understand security, but it seemed like way overkill on there. That's one. Two, airport, gun-free zone. Not for this guy. Okay? So basically it becomes, what do you call it, shooting fish in a pond, in a barrel. Frankly, people should be allowed to carry right up to the counter. If you don't want them carry on the plane, fine. But the problem is you can carry in your carry-on, and I've done it, but you can't conceal carry up to the counter.
You can carry on your carry-on?
I meant check. Okay. Yes, yes, and I have an interesting story.
Wow, dude, you're bought.
Where I almost went to jail for the way I handled.
Yeah.
I mishandled a round in the chamber that was in a pistol that I was putting on board. But regardless of that, once again, gun-free zone. That's part of the big story here, is that all these people, Florida is one of the first carry states, you know, shell carry states. I think it's the first shell carry state. And excellent results. And yet here we have a situation where a number of citizens would have been able to defend themselves and couldn't. That, to me, is a big story right there. You won't see that on CNN.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, it's a soft target. And they know that the soft targets at the airport are now the loading and the unloading, mm-hmm. right? And so what are you going to do? I mean, what's the next step? Are we now going to have plenty of personnel, you know, in the baggage area? Normally, once you pass through and the doors close and you're in the baggage area, it's like nowhere else.
It's looking like an airport in Italy with 50 cals mounted outside the gate. You know,
it's just one of those things. Or will they just no longer allow people to carry, mm-hmm. you know, even in their checked bags? I don't know. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I never carry through an airport just because I don't want to deal with the hassle. That's just nothing I'm going to deal with.
Well, I was very, very discreet. And I went up. You had to go to the same counter where you check in skis and other sporting goods, oddly enough. And I have a pistol in my luggage. Oh, firearm over here.
Yeah, I'm trying to be quiet about it.
Happens every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, call into the show, 734-822-1600, if you want to get in on this discussion or anything else. We're going to be moving on now and talking about the intel. Allegedly, we have Congressman Wahlberg calling in at 2:30, so we'll be able to get some updates for the new Congress starting off and some of the things that have gone on there. But let's move on to the intel reporting. And does it seem biased to me? And this is what we were debating with Brandon, you know, this debate of what, how much credit do you actually give to our current intel services? And there was a couple of surveys out through Twitter and Facebook I saw that was asking people, do you believe the WikiLeaks guy or do you believe our intel services? And frankly, it was like 70% people were saying, we're believing the WikiLeaks. And that's disturbing because, you know what, here, this is our country. This is our intel service. And have they been politicized to the point where we've lost faith in them?
Well, they have been politicized. We know that. We know that under the Obama administration, they have been horribly politicized. They and pretty much the military staff, for that matter. It doesn't mean the grunts. Doesn't mean the people on the ground necessarily are.
Right.
It's sad. I don't know which way to go on it, frankly. I look at some of these faces, and I say, yeah, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't know you. I don't know whether I trust you or not. I don't know if you're going to speak to the American people as a lie or not. You know, we know that Trump said he had inside information. We know that we hadn't seen the inside information that Trump had either.
Right, yeah, and that was Brandon's good point.
Oh,
you know?
Right,
he said, you know, I've got something, and then again, we never saw anything. So, you know, and to Brandon's point, Donald Trump does that a lot. We're not getting always a full story or we're getting a half story out of him. And to that point, that is true. But, Derek, let's go with track one. And I think this is Catherine Herridge out of Fox News talking about.
She's good.
Yeah, she's probably one of the experts as far as media-related people. And she always seems to be pretty fair and honest when it comes to that. Play track one for us, Derek.
I want to emphasize to people that there's a very interesting finding, and it basically says that they wanted to hurt Hillary Clinton, but at a certain point they realized they felt she would win, and at that point they decided to change the focus of their operation to gather information that would hurt her future presidency. And it reads in part, just one second here, when it appeared to Moscow that Secretary Clinton was likely to win the election, the Russian influence campaign began to focus more on undermining her future presidency. So the Russians didn't feel their campaign had been successful in damaging her chances of winning. And at a certain point, they decided to take the information that they had and try and leverage it against her in the future.
Right, so for me, the scary part out of that was even Russian intelligence, because you always want to think, oh my God, they're the baddest of the bad. They believed our stupid media biased polls too, right? So it works. So who's the best propagandists on the planet? Our own mainstream media, because they even fooled Trump or Putin and all his people.
That's a good point. I hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me that here is, you know, maybe allegedly the second best intelligence people in the world, if you include ours to be the first, they were fooled by our mainstream media polling as well. And doesn't that just blow you away?
Well, one take, yes, it does. But one take I see here is that, well, they wanted something to hold over Hillary. And I remember hearing Hugh Hewitt early on saying, she cannot be elected president. She has been compromised. Everything on her server, I mean, basically there are certain things you can't do to get a top secret clearance because of the possibility that you might be blackmailed. One of them is being a homosexual. There's certain financial things. If you have certain financial disparities, you can't get a top secret clearance because you might be blackmailed. And here this woman had her goods exposed to the world on her private server. She was compromised. And this exactly spells that out. The Russians knew they would have her.
Yeah. Yeah, and thankfully, you know, that the American people were smart enough to see that as well, I think. Because you know what?
And how did the American people see that?
Yeah, when it comes to influencing, and I guess this is the part that bothers me a lot. It seems like the left and the media are trying to make this out, and it's a delegitimization of the Trump administration. Listen, it was a fair election. If anything, it was biased against Trump. He overcame all odds of the mainstream media, the GOP elite, and the DNC, and still won, right?
Yeah.
And yet, here they are now trying to delegitimize him in some fashion or another. And this is what I'm astounded that even after the media took the beating that they took in this election, they're still hammering away at him, trying to follow Obama's lead and the left's lead to continue this delegitimization. You know, he's appointed cabinet members, and I think for most of them I'm pretty happy with. I wouldn't say I'm 100%, but for the most part, I'm willing to at least acknowledge them and say, let's give them a shot.
I'd give Brandon this. Okay, Brandon, you listening? I'm still open about Trump, but I am pleasantly surprised more and more every day. His cabinet selections, when he did the thank you tour, and I think I've said this before, when he did the thank you tour, I said, oh my goodness, it's all about him aggrandizing himself. And yet the things I heard him say, I was impressed with his leadership and his, and to some degree, his humility in this thank you tour. He was thanking the American people, not claiming how great he was. He's done things that I cringe at. He's tweeted stuff I cringe at. And yet he is not Hillary, and I want to give him a shot. I do not want to delegitimize. I don't want to join in the voices delegitimizing him at the moment. I want to give him a fair shot.
Right. Let's take a call from Will in Ann Arbor. Will, welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to back up to what you're talking about with the Russians having information on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Something that struck me when I first heard the report, and again when you just mentioned it, was they talked about wanting to switch to using the information against her presidency in the future. Does that mean that tells me that they have more than what's been released?
Yeah, I imagine
presumably
they would.
Yeah,
I imagine that, you know, had Hillary succeeded, they would have been able to twist her. And let's frankly be honest. I'm not sure that Russia really wanted Trump. I mean, she sold them how much of our uranium supply while Secretary of State? How much more would she have sold them if she was a president, especially if they had dirt on her? Right?
Well, so, that's a great question, is what dirt do they still have on her?
Yeah, and you know,
I just thought I'd point that out, that none of the news reporting seems to have seized on that and investigated a little further.
Yeah, that's a good point, Will, but what we do know about what was in her emails has all been leaked by WikiLeaks. I mean, there have been State Department reveals, but obviously that's been trickling out.
I don't know that we have. We've seen Podesta's emails, and we saw some other DNC emails. We haven't seen the Hillary emails yet, have we? Who's got them, and when are they going to be let loose? That's the question.
Yep.
Yeah, good point, Will. Excellent point. Anything else?
No, thanks.
All right, thanks for the call, Will. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I expected that last week before the election that WikiLeaks was going to say, all right, you've seen Podesta's stuff. Now here's Hillary's stuff, and just bombard us in that last week. And they never did.
Well, didn't they imply they were going to?
Everything I saw, I was expecting a great big bomb to drop, and it never did. And I don't understand that. You know, were they waiting to use it afterward when she won?
Well, that's what your news report here said.
Yeah, so very strange. Derek, let's go to track two. And I think this is kind of related to the first one. We just got off track a little bit. Go ahead and play that.
Those sources. But reading the unclassified report, you've got to take a lot on faith, I have to say. Because there really is no data that's declassified or sourced beyond a lot of reporting about the Russian-backed TV network RT, but this hardly seems like strong intelligence for someone who is looking at these conclusions.
Yeah. So that's, again, Catherine Herridge, and she's saying, listen, I've seen this a lot, and these are very strong conclusions. They're putting it out there. This is the conclusion. It's class A plus material. This is their confidence level, extremely high. And yet even she's mystified, and all the time that she's been, that they didn't declassify anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't declassify anything. Now, allegedly, if these DNC, the Podesta emails came through a phishing scam, that's how, because his password was password, right? Anybody could have gotten that, not necessarily just the Russians, but anybody could have gotten that one. And I still believe that the DNC email leak came from Seth Rich, who was murdered in Washington, D.C. There was no robbery in that. Somebody gunned him down late at night walking home from wherever he was. And that, for me, says that's not necessarily Russia. That could be somebody else, including people in the DNC, because there's a Podesta email, as I recall, that goes back and says, you know, we're going to make an example of somebody who's leaking, because they knew there was something going on with as far as a leak, right? Derek, we got track three. And again, this is Catherine Herridge talking about how this last intel briefing goes down and the timing of it.
Reading the unclassified report, you've got to take a lot on faith, I have to say, because there really is no data that's declassified or sourced beyond a lot of reporting about the Russian-backed TV network RT, but this hardly seems like strong intelligence for someone who is looking at these conclusions.
No, that was the same one as the last one. I thought we had a different one in there. Anyway, she goes on to say that in all her years, she has never seen a dump like this.
Mm-hmm.
With an incoming administration, the outgoing administration, again, it's just odd. I mean, if the idea is to keep America at its best and strongest, why is the outgoing administration doing its best to make it difficult for the incoming administration? Bush did not do this to Obama. Clinton didn't do it to Bush. Well, they did. They took the W's off the keyboards and stuff. But
and
anyway,
the furniture.
But it wasn't anything of as high a nature as this. I mean, it's just incredible, right?
I've always looked at Obama as a spoiled, petulant child. And these are the behaviors of a spoiled, petulant child.
Yeah.
That's you know, a sore loser. I mean, he knows he didn't lose the election, but he himself said that this was an election based on his what's the word? Legacy.
Right.
This is all about his legacy.
Yeah, his legacy is going down. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. What's left, you know, his one lasting part of his legacy, I feel, and I kind of thought about this on the way in today, is the damage he's done to his own party. That's going to be a lasting legacy.
Yeah, that, and actually in the military, the homosexual issue in the military, that's another part of his lasting legacy. And quite frankly, there's a lot of difficulty right now in the military. There's a lot of people who are serving who are homosexual who are very much afraid of the Trump administration right now.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Donald Trump doesn't strike me as somebody who's vindictive against homosexuals or anything else.
No.
I think he wants to see the military succeed, and whatever it takes for them to succeed, those are the policies he'll probably put in place. He's going to ask the Pentagon to do what they think they need to do. You know,
but it's been what he's done has been disruptive. Yeah. That's the problem.
Well, let's go back for a minute to the intel about influencing elections, because you know what, every country on the planet, I think, is trying to influence other countries' elections to their favor, whether it's by Saudi Arabia paying money to the Clinton Foundation and to Hillary Clinton's campaign, or whether it's Iran or North Korea trying to dig for the same intel that we're accusing Russia of getting, or China doing this.
Or now, Obama paying off the, you know, taking taxpayers' money and trying to defeat Bibi Netanyahu.
Yes, and that's the glass houses. And luckily they broached that in that intel hearing on Capitol Hill with McCain and Graham and the whole nine yards, right? And so it strikes me, though, that the way the media picks up on it, like it's a giant collusion between Russia and Trump. And it's not. If Russia was trying to influence the election, that's what they do. That's what we did in Ukraine. You don't think we try to do that to Russia or England or France or Germany? We're always pushing to get some kind of an influence on another country that, so that it's best for us. That's just normal procedure, right?
Yeah, well, part of the take is that a lot of people feel that Clinton, for whatever reason, would have been playing hardball and would have gotten us into World War III. I don't know where they get that, but I saw a lot of that, of that opinion, okay?
Oddly enough, this morning on Twitter, right? 6,000 tanks on the Russian border right now, NATO tanks. What is with the buildup? And 300,000 troops all of a sudden doing some kind of a war games. Why in the transition of the superpower on the planet are we doing a war game on a border with a country that we're accusing of trying to influence our election through covert operations?
Well, once again, I think Obama would love to see some kind of military event to keep himself in power.
Yeah, declare martial law and try and stay in power for some crazy reason or another. I would hope.
Go ahead, say it again because I want to.
I hope that the militaries of our planet, you know, the U.S. military, the Pentagon, the Kremlin, I hope everybody has enough brains to, if there's a mistake, somebody crosses a border, somebody shoots down a plane, cooler heads prevail. Well, and let's get this guy out of office so the adults can take control of the planet again.
We've seen that with Putin already, with his response to the ejection of 35 of his people from our country. They didn't do the tit for tat. He said, I can wait. Yeah. I can be the adult here.
Yeah, and let's not
I'm not idolizing.
I'm not fooling
Putin.
Myself. I know Vladimir Putin is an ex-KGB, dirty, rotten, SOB, toughest, meanest, backstabbingest guy on the planet. He's doing what's best for him, number one, and his country, number two, because weren't you and I talking the other day about he's probably one of the richest guys on the planet because he sucks all the resources from Russia
takes
to
his kickback,
right? Oh, yeah. So no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And follow the money. I'm sure it works for him. That being said, people that believe in the almighty dollar or ruble or whatever, at least you know where they're coming from, right?
This actually goes back to the point about Trump and Putin, if it came down to that, and Hillary. If she was more warlike and was more, let's just say, more confrontational, it would cause a buildup along that border, like Obama's doing right now. However, if Trump is not confrontational and he says, you know, we can work, we can do deals where possible, we can keep things calm, then actually Putin's looking at he doesn't have to spend so much money on his military, which he is already, but it doesn't bust his budget like Reagan busted, you know, the budget of the communist empire and caused them to – when Reagan escalated with Star Wars and the like, you know, basically he crushed the Russian empire. Soviet empire.
Yeah.
Because they knew they couldn't keep up, so they folded. Putin doesn't want to play that game, so Putin wants somebody he can deal with. So if he's trying to, you know, influence our election to get Trump – it's probably not for some nefarious thing. It's just to keep peace in the world, maybe.
Or to line his own pockets. Either way, I'd rather deal with somebody who could line their own pockets than somebody who wants to die and have 72 virgins. All right, well, we'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Faron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. The brother of the Florida airport shooting suspect questioning why Esteban Santiago was allowed to keep his gun after U.S. authorities knew he'd become increasingly paranoid and was hearing voices.
Charges could be announced this afternoon. Santiago is accused of flying from Alaska to Fort Lauderdale with a plan: pack his 9mm handgun in his luggage, check that luggage, fly, and then upon arrival, walk to baggage claim, get his gun, and load it, and start shooting.
Fox's Phil Keating. Six people hospitalized, five people killed,
including Terry Andres, 62 years old, from Virginia Beach, traveling with his wife of 40 years, prepared to go on a cruise.
Fox's Steve Harrigan. The president-elect renewing his call for warmer relations with Russia a day after a declassified report on Russian efforts to influence the U.S. presidential election. Fox News. We report, you decide.
It's time for This American Voice with Theron, brought to you by A&H Lawn Service. Now here's Theron.
The progressive left will do anything to delegitimize Donald Trump's presidency. The George Soros, John Podesta-funded and driven Jill Stein vote recount was the first shot at Trump. The fake news election hacking by the Russians is another example of the progressive desperate grasp at straws to ruin Trump's rightful win over Hillary Clinton. Trump killed it. They will never be good with that. And by the way, the Russian hacking thing is not about actual vote machine totals, hacking into actual machines and driving up totals for Trump. It's about the left being exposed for what they truly are via Hillary, Podesta, and Obama's email being laid out for all to see. And I'd suspect the intelligence community before I'd suspect the Russians on that. For the past 8 years, the FBI has been told, don't do your job. They've been told to stand by and do nothing, knowing Hillary is guilty of serious national security breaches. But the bottom line is we, the thinking, saw Hillary and the left for what they are. And given that, we voted for Trump. The legacy of Hussein Obama and the left will be ashes. Rightfully so. 2016 will go down as the most legitimate election year in American history.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. They've been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991, including landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. They have the professional experience you can count on. Call 734-429-5778 and see how their business can help your business, or visit ahlawncare.com.
It's 2017. If you're thinking about investing in your house, now is the time. Check out woodrehab.com or call 248-506-6175. Use this year's tax refund to spruce up your house. And what better way than upgrading your tired kitchen cabinets? Wood Rehab can give your kitchen cabinets a new look at a great price. Don't replace them. You can paint or refinish without emptying your cabinets in this very non-intrusive process, which averages 7 days from start to finish. Call 248-506-6175. Ask for Dave. Woodrehab.com will give you 10% off if you mention this ad. 2017 is a great year. Get it started with a brand new kitchen. Call 248-506-6175. Or go to the web at woodrehab.com and get your kitchen renovation started today.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka. Ipsy Ed.
Howdy.
Glad to have you along today.
Nice to
and
meet you.
Let's take care of a little business real quick here. It's Saturday night, and if you want to see a comedy show, get up to Burroughs Roadhouse, 5311 Brighton Road, 810-227-6000. They do a great comedy show up there. Keith Lennart's there tonight, and they have great food and great atmosphere at Burroughs Roadhouse. It is definitely a destination restaurant. You want to get up there and check it out. Great atmosphere, great building, plenty of parking, and good drinks and great prices. So check them out. You can go to thecurrentonline.com, and it's on page 15. You can catch some coupons in there. And check it out, 810-227-6000, or go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. Okay, so it's first Saturday of the month, and we've got Congressman Tim Walberg from the 7th District calling in. Tim, welcome.
Well, good to be with you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Tim. Glad to have you aboard.
Good to talk to you again.
Well, good to be back. It's been a full first week since our swearing in on Tuesday. Accomplished quite a bit this week, and back home, and then we'll be back on Monday to start it all over again with committees in place. And I had the privilege this past week of being nominated and appointed to the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the oldest committee in Congress. And many people dream about being on, including myself, and I'm on it. And we'll be one of the two committees in the House dealing with the repeal of Obamacare and placement.
Oh, good. Now, Tim, I get a lot of emails from you, and I'm sure a lot of our taxpayers do. The RAINS Act. Can you give me a little update on the RAINS Act, which is allegedly it's going to curb a whole lot of red tape for us?
Yeah, we passed that this week. We've passed it in the last two Congress as well, but it dies in the Senate because the president puts out a veto order on it, and Harry Reid and now Chuck Schumer hold it up. In this case, we have a president who will sign it, and a president who has a Twitter page who will use it. And I think there are about 25 senators from the Democrat side, including some relatively moderate ones, that will be a little bit worried about the president tweeting out, these guys are stopping a RAINS Act, which will rein in the bureaucracy, put the power back where it ought to be in Congress to approve or disapprove of regulations, specifically in this case, any regulation that has a cost of over $100 million, which is very insignificant in the cost of regulations. 82% of the regulations passed by the president and signed by the president and approved by the president's administration this past year were above that. So this will have a huge impact in saying that if that's the case, it has to come back to Congress to review it and to either approve or disapprove. So it's really doing what we, under the Constitution, have the responsibility and the power to do, but in a typically lazy way, years back, we started giving the authority to the bureaucracy to put the rules together, and then we gave them the ability to put those rules with only the requirement that they have public comment on it. But even if the public comment shows that the rule is absolutely stupid or worse than that, hurtful to our economy or to our freedom in the United States, they don't have to listen to that if they don't want to. And we've seen that take place this past year, especially. And unfortunately, the courts in several key issues, after we brought lawsuit on the regulatory agencies, Department of Labor specifically, we won in the courts. But it shouldn't be that way. Congress should take action on it and have the final say.
Right. And for those that are asking what RAINS is, it's the regulations from the executive in need of scrutiny, which is pretty self-explaining right there. So, Tim, do you expect a lot when on the 21st, the day after the ceremonies, do you expect Donald Trump to really hammer a lot of those Obama executive decisions and just undo them by executive fiat to undo them?
Well, let me give you the words of Vice President-elect Pence, who met with us Wednesday of this week, and it answers that directly. He said this will be the shortest inaugural parade in modern history. It'll only be 90 minutes for the purposes of allowing the president then to get from the parade, which ought to be. There ought to be celebrations in inauguration, but it doesn't have to go on for hours. And to get from the parade to his desk, which will be prepared for him as he's being inaugurated, President Obama's desk or his belongings will be taken out of the White House, and the Trumps will be brought into the White House, and this new president-elect wants to get to that desk and start signing executive order cuts. He plans to, in that first day, before it goes to the balls in the evening, sign the ending of numerous Obama executive orders. And that I applaud him for doing.
Yeah, that's well, that's exciting. I'm glad to see that that's going to happen. And I guess when we look at the Senate, Tim, because I was tweeting a lot about the Senate this week, and I'm always tweeting to McConnell, not that he ever probably sees anything, but what is the chance that we're going to continue this lack of getting anything through the Senate? You know, you guys have passed hundreds of bills in the last 2 years, and they haven't gone past. Even with the Republicans in control of the Senate, they haven't gone anywhere. Is there any talk of going nuclear option to do anything to finally get ahead and get something done, or are we going to have to still wait this game out until 2018?
Well, really, there should be no need of nuclear option. There was never a filibuster until it came, I believe it was in the 60s or possibly the early 70s when the filibuster rule came through. So this is not a constitutional issue. This is simply rules of the Senate. And it really takes away the ability for the majority, and that being the majority of the people, to be represented. And the minority, one senator, can stop it all. And that is not the way it ought to be. However, senators make their own rules. So we've been negotiating with them since the beginning of this past term to consider, at the very least, on the budgetary appropriation areas, that filibuster can only last up until the one month prior to the end of the budget, and then it's all off. The appropriations package has to be taken up. Now, the nuclear option has only been used in history for confirmations. It's never been used for legislative policy. So we're still negotiating that, and we would like to see the Senate do away with filibuster. It's not only Mitch McConnell, but Senator Cruz and others still believe that it's important because sometime they believe they'll be in the minority and they'd like to use it. Well, doggone it. We don't have it in the House. We have to move things forward. They should do it as well. They can have lengthy requirements for debate, such as what they're doing right now. They will be completing their 50-hour mandated debate time on the budget resolution, which they will start, and they have started already, to get to the House early next week, so by Thursday of this next week, we can vote on passage of the budget resolution, which will then allow us the following week to begin work on the reconciliation bill, which will enable us to repeal Obamacare and defund Planned Parenthood and a number of other things that deal with specifically budgetary items. So that's the process. But no, I can't tell you for sure. The only thing, Gary, that we have hope about that's different from the past is that we have a president who would be willing to tweet out to these senators, Republicans and Democrats, districts, and say, call your senator. They are holding up the process of doing what I promised to get done, what many of your members of Congress said they would do. And if Joe Manchin and others are willing to take the heat of their constituents after Donald Trump tweets out, as he's known to do and does very well, then, more power to them. They're going to have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I said in the election run-up was that, you know, here's a guy who does have the ability. And I don't know that any of our other candidates had that ability to reach out to the public in such a fashion and get them to support, because I knew that this was going to be coming. And I think we've seen a little bit here and there. And of course, you get the Democrats saying, you can't be a president and be tweeting out all the time. It's just not presidential. But you know what? It is the bully pulpit now that he can literally reach out to the people, like you said. And even Debbie Stabenow, which I would love to see the people of Michigan start holding her accountable and get her to get off her duff and actually vote for something that's good for the state of Michigan, good for the people of the United States, because she always seems to be stepping in line with Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and just doing whatever. Yeah, doing everything they can to be an obstructionist when the Republicans have something going, and then just rubber stamping anything that the Democrats want to do. And it's about time we get a senator here in Michigan who actually wants to do something that's good for the country and good for our state.
Well, that's where Donald Trump will come in handy. And to say that it isn't presidential to communicate with the people who put him in office and he is serving is absolutely insane. Ronald Reagan was excellent. That was before tweets. But he went directly to the people, and at that time, the media would cover him. And he'd hold his fireside chats or his Oval Office chats, and he'd speak directly to the people, and he'd call the people of South Dakota or Illinois or Michigan to contact their legislators to support the item that he was pushing. It was absolutely presidential, and Trump is using new technology. I mean, we can question sometimes the attitude expressed or the language used being presidential or not.
Yeah.
But to say that he does not have a presidential obligation to communicate with the people, it goes against everything that this government is about. It's of the people, by the people, and you communicate with the people to complete that. So I look forward to seeing that, and if you have time, we can talk about how he did it this past week and how it can be done better in the future and the impact that it can have.
Yeah, well, let's do that. He did tweet out, and I don't know where you sat on this, Tim, because we didn't get a chance to talk earlier in the week. One of the things that kind of came out this week was the removal of the ethics board. And I'm not going to say I know a whole lot of what that was all about because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it. But the perception and the optics certainly were really bad. And what can you tell us about that? Because then Trump came out and he did the tweet, and then Paul Ryan and crew kind of reversed the whole idea of getting rid of the ethics committee, right?
Well, let me give the full picture because that you're absolutely right. No one, not only you, but no one probably, unless they are a political wonk, knew what OCE even stood for, let alone knew that that was a second ethics committee in the House. The Senate doesn't have one. We have a House Ethics Committee, which is made up of equal number of Democrats and Republicans every term, and it does pretty well. Well, Nancy Pelosi took office as Speaker of the House in 2007, and in order to throw up a bit of fog over the scandals that were going on in her caucus at the time, she called for a second Ethics Committee, which was OCE, and that is very unique. It has no purpose other than to take information brought to them by whoever, indicating that there's something unethical going on with a member of Congress. That member of Congress who is being charged does not have the right or opportunity to meet, see, or even hear the name of the person making the charges. That goes fully against due process that we expect in this country. And this agency can also leak information to the press. So we've seen colleagues, good colleagues of mine, reputation destroyed and $100,000, $150,000 of legal fees trying to exonerate themselves, and most do, that have been brought as part of this committee. So there has been an effort. Louis Gohmert, who's not known to be anything but a conservative, Jim Jordan, and others, including Bob Goodlatte, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, wanted to see this changed. However, this was the wrong time to do it. The first day back,
yeah,
without giving them information like I'm giving to you right now about what we're actually talking about.
Yeah, so we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, right?
Oh, yeah, and then Trump didn't check to find out what the issue was. He just tweeted out because it went with his mantra, which is a good mantra, of draining the swamp, and he attacked. Well, I think we all learned from this. We've talked with Mike Pence about it as well. Mike Pence has been given an office in the House. He already has an office in the Senate as president of the Senate, but he is a man of the House, and I think he's going to provide a lot of help. And so in the future, Paul Ryan and leadership did not want this rule to go forward and spoke strongly against it, and those of us who didn't support it were opposed to it, but the numbers pushed it, and then overnight found out that there wouldn't be enough numbers because of that to pass the regular rules package. And so the leadership brought us in the next morning and said, listen, we're going to continue operating in a bottom-up membership up approach, not top-down. But on this one, we have to appeal to you to back away from this, to withdraw it, because this is not what we need to be talking about the first day that we can't even pass our rules package, which is a good rules package because of this that's in here. And Mr. Trump now has tweeted out, the American public don't understand it. They think we're trying to be unethical when that's not the case. And while we were harmed and while it was kind of ugly, yet it was good we backed away from it. And I think now the next time this happens, the speaker will contact the White House and say, listen, this is what we're talking about. We want you on the same page. Frankly, it was bad strategy, which allowed Donald Trump to tweet for no reason at all because we didn't do our strategy right. And hopefully we've learned from that, and we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, from just the sheer optics standpoint, that, you know, the first thing that Paul Ryan should do, and I would like to see him out front of these things a little bit more, but you get your butt out on Fox and you say, listen, here's, and you tell that story exactly like you told us, and all of a sudden it's different. You know, all of a sudden it's no longer, oh, well, now I understand.
Well, on two levels, one is that it looks bad that, you know, like you said, the bad optics that, well, we're trying to get away with something, so we want this ethics. And when you understand that, you say, okay, well, that wasn't really what's going on. The other is, okay, it still looks bad because somebody made the decision to follow through with that because it looks bad. So the decision-making process to go down that path, even though it's a noble path, looks suspect.
Yeah, timing, again, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you have to remember that Paul Ryan and the leadership were blindsided by this. Those that were pushing it knew that leadership would push back on this for one reason alone, the optics. It just would not work coming so quickly like that without organizing an effort to explain and educate the people what we were attempting to do, that we weren't even attempting to do away with the OCE. We were attempting to require them to follow due process, that the accuser must meet face-to-face the accusee, and that no public relations press releases would be released until the person was indicted or convicted. And that's what ought to be expected. So Paul was blindsided up until that evening when it was brought before the open body of the members of the House Republican Conference. So to his defense, he wasn't even given the courtesy of being notified beforehand. So that, too, hopefully will remind some of our people's Freedom Caucus members and others, that you still got to work as a team or else things blow up and it ends up hurting us all.
Yeah, it all comes down to communication. You had something, Ed?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you made that clear because, quite frankly, and I'm not being critical here, but I know that you swim in waters where it's normal talk. But when you first started explaining this, so-and-so was up, down, sideways, whatever, it all sounded like double negatives. And I understand you understood as you were explaining it to us because you live in that environment. But until you just came out and said Paul Ryan was opposed to it, yeah. I really wasn't following for a while there. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Well, I'm glad so too because, you know, we were talking about two good sides. Paul Ryan is a true conservative, great leader. He's promoting open process and letting the membership drive the agenda. That's why we came up with a Better Way plan, which has the Affordable Care Act repeal and the replacement in it. And then on the other side, we have conservatives like Louie Gohmert, Jim Jordan, and others who wanted to see this onerous, abusive committee with some control on it. And so here are two good sides being blindsided in that way, and ultimately it didn't work. And then Donald Trump, speaking to the issue of ethics, all he knew about it. I mean, we got to remember, this president doesn't understand fully the process in Washington, and we don't understand fully how he will function, so communications are going to have to be important, because if we communicate well, and next time Paul goes to him and says, listen, President, here's an issue that's going to come up, let me explain it fully, what's behind it, so you understand that we are still on the same page, and you don't need to tweet out on this one. And we're going to try to do it in a strategically sound way, all going toward the same principle, but doing good strategy in the process. So I'm glad it happened the first day to some degree, because it sure was an ugly, ugly outcome that fortunately will be past us and we can go on. And now the commitment has been made by the leadership that by August, the Ethics Committee will come up with the language for the reform for OCE, and we'll pass it hopefully in a bipartisan way, because this has hit some Democrats, especially the African-American caucus, the Black caucus, in a huge way as well. And things have come out very strongly on them that they didn't want to see. So this will be dealt with down the road, but I think this also reminds us as we move through the Affordable Care Act repeal, the replacement of it, that Republicans, conservatives have to stay on the same track by staying communicating with themselves and understanding the process before we get into unnecessary fights.
Right.
I'm glad you made the distinction. It's not the media of tweeting per se. It's the content of the tweets and the optics. I have friends who frankly cringe at some of the stuff that they hear, and yet there's a lot of good tweets that Trump has put out too. So,
sure.
You know, restraint and appearance.
Yeah. It's a tool that needs to be used widely. Well, Tim, let me ask you. There was a story out even on Fox, and of course it's all over Twitter too, that is there a five-minute window somewhere that Barack can appoint Merrick Garland to that SCOTUS position before Trump gets into office? Is that just fake news, or is that a real issue? And if so, is Congress or the Senate going to do anything about that?
If there is any means by which he could do it, it would have probably had to take place on the 3rd of January, the moment we were
recess
out of office before we were sworn in. That didn't take place. So right now there's a new Congress functioning. We are not adjourned. We are in recess. So there is no ability for him to make recess appointments in that we are out and the session is ended for a period of time.
Okay.
That's not
all right. So nothing to worry about there. All right, so let me hit, but we got just a few minutes left, Tim. We talk about the repeal of Obamacare. It looks like you guys are going to do it, and hopefully the Senate can somehow get that through as well. Do we have a replacement plan together? I know you guys have worked on it before. The Democrats are always quick to say the Republicans don't have a plan. And I know you guys do, right? But do we have something ready to go?
Yeah, you and I have talked about it multiple times. It's called the Better Way Plan. And it's not only in a document that we take around, but it's actually in a bill form that the soon-to-be, hopefully, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tom Price, was the author of. So he knows about it, and it's something that he can communicate with the president. The president has communicated with Paul Ryan on it. That will be the proposal genesis of the reform that takes place. The Democrats will be coming across the country in these next several weeks. We have Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders, along with Debbie Dingell, Debbie Stabenow, and others who are coming in to Dearborn next week for a rally for health care. And they'll be specifically Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders lying about what we're going to do, saying, number one, we're going to make America sicker. They made us sick already. They've increased the cost. They've taken people off health insurance plans. They took us off networks. They made it more expensive for us. And 20 million people that didn't have it, who do have it, still have out-of-pocket expenses that have exorbitantly increased by over 37% in this past year.
Right.
That's made America sicker. So
don't believe
the Democrats when they lie about that. We have a plan. We're not going to throw people off. We're going to do it in a responsible fashion, but we will repeal Obamacare.
Okay. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. Let's make sure we do this every month. And
thanks for your service.
Here. And hopefully maybe we'll see you at the inauguration.
I hope so. You better show up my office if you're there.
You got it. Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And that's the end of the show, right? Are we still on, Derek?
Yeah, still says on air.
We're still on air. I can't see. I'm getting blinded by the light. All right, go to thedailydrift.com, folks. We'll see you next week.